Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
We're starting a new series this week. It's a series called Silence. And I remember at the beginning of last year, I went through my own season of silence. My own season as one author calls it, my own dark night of the soul, where I was going through a lot of things and in the midst of some personal situations that brought on a temporary case of depression and anxiety, as I would get down on my knees and pray to God and just be like, Jesus, I need your help in this situation. I oftentimes felt like my prayers were hitting the ceiling and not going any further. You know, I would be on my face just calling out to God, saying, God, I need you in this moment. God, will you just help me here? God, will you just reveal yourself to me right now? And there would just be silence. I would feel so alone spiritually in these times. I remember I had a thing for graduate studies out in Seattle during this time, and while we were there, we were gathering together in groups, and we were supposed to do this exercise that would help us hear from God. And I remember as we gathered around and we did this exercise and everybody shared what they heard from God, it came time for me to share, and I just had to say, I'm just in a season right now where I feel like I don't, where I'm just, I feel empty, where I feel like I am alone. And you know, the interesting thing is that I know that I'm not the only person that experiences periods in our lives like this. Life is full of ups and downs. And I call this a season of silence because as we go through life, there are going to be seasons in our lives where we feel so close to Jesus. And then there's going to be seasons in our lives where things are just kind of coasting along, but then there are those times. Those times that send us to our knees and make us wonder what is going on. Where did God go? And we start to say, God, why have you abandoned me? And I know in my heart that the truth of the matter is that God was there the entire time. He had never abandoned me. God has promised that he'll always be with me, that he is there through thick and thin, through my junk in my life. He walks side by side with me through all of that. But there are seasons, there are times where whether it's for my growth or because of my sin, that there's silence. And I think that a lot of us have experienced these seasons of silence. Maybe you're here right now and you're in a season of silence. You're here right now and you've been praying hard and you're thinking, God, where are you? And maybe you had to force yourself to get out of bed this morning because you're thinking, if God's not going to spend time with me, then maybe I don't need to spend time with God. On the other hand, maybe you're here and you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's not me at all. Life's great right now. But can I just share with you that for all of us, these seasons come. And some of us, we experience deep lows and deep high, and very high highs. And some of us, not quite so much, but we all go through seasons of low times and seasons of high times. And so I encourage you today, as we begin the first week of this three-week series on what we do when God seems silent, that you take notes on this, that you put this stuff away so that if later on you are going through this, you can recall that, wait a second, we talked about this before, and maybe, just maybe, something that we talk about in these next 3 weeks is going to resonate with your soul in that moment that you need it the most. And so if you're a digital person like I often am, excuse me, I can't speak today, apparently. Like I often am, almost did it again. I just encourage you to pull out your internet-connected mobile device and go to ascc.life, tap on the message notes tile, and you'll be able to follow along with what we're doing here, look at the Bible passage and surrounding areas of the Bible passage as we go through it, and take your own notes to save for later. If you're a paper and pen person, feel free to pull that out now. If you're just a in-the-moment person. At the very least, I'd encourage you, there's not a lot of slides this week. Snap a picture of the slides and save it in your phone for later, or write it down when you get home, or whatever you need to do. But don't forget these things, because I truly do believe that this is important for all of us, because we all have to answer the question for ourselves at some point in life: what do we do when it seems like God has disappeared? What do we do when it seems like God isn't right here anymore? Will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, today we all come into this place with different backgrounds and different seasons of life, and some of us are feeling right now like what we're going to talk about today isn't for them. And I just ask, Lord, that you'll plant a seed in their heart, Lord, a seed of someone that needs to know this, and a seed that can sprout to life when this information is necessary for them, Lord. Lord, I also think of those that are going through their own dark night of the soul right now. And Lord, will you just encourage them and make yourself known to them? Lord, help them to learn whatever it is that they can learn from this experience and to grow as followers of you, I pray. And Lord, I ask today that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we're going to be looking at one of the Psalms. This one that we're going to be looking at is Psalm 22, and if you want to turn there in your Bibles with me, you can do that, or it'll be on the screen behind me. I'm going to be reading out of the New International Version of the Bible today. If you're not familiar with translations and versions of the Bible, it's not that we have, you know, here's version one, and then we updated it and changed everything, and here's version two, but we have to understand that the Bible that we have, the scriptures that we trust, that we follow, that they were written in languages like Hebrew and Greek. And so for us to understand them, unless you want me to start reading to you in Hebrew and Greek, which I think there's maybe one person in this room that could follow along with that if he could understand my horrible pronunciation, we have to translate it. And so these translators, they create different versions as they try to explain in English what the text is saying. And I think they do a phenomenal job, but some versions are going to make it a little bit easier or more familiar. And so today we're reading from the New International Version, just because I think that the language that is used here is familiar to those that have grown up in the church and are familiar with this passage. But it's also easy enough to understand for those that are maybe new to this whole God thing. New to this whole Bible thing. And so if you want to turn in your Bible to Psalm 22 or follow along on the screen behind me, here's what we read. This is David, King David. He's writing this psalm, this song to God. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Have you ever been in that place where you feel this way? Have you ever been in that place where you're just, my God, where are you? David continues on. He says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you our ancestors put their trust. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Skip down to verse 9. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. So here's David writing this song. And you know, so often we go to the Psalms and we're like, I just need something happy and uplifting. But what we also see is when we go to the Psalms, they also echo our other states of mind. And when we're in a state of mind of where is God, we can find in Psalms like Psalm 22 that in fact, what we're going through can be echoed here. As we cry out and say, God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you, God? Why can't I hear you, God? The people throughout history have also gone through these things and written about them and their experience of them. And it gives us permission to cry out to God in those times. I think that sometimes we feel ashamed, don't we? We feel like, man, like God is so big, I can't possibly, when I'm feeling this way, express myself to God and still be respectful. And yet here's David, a man after God's own heart, and what we see is that he cries out with all that's in him and says, "Why have you forsaken me, God? I'm crying out to you. I'm calling to you in my pain and my anguish as enemies are surrounding me, and it's like you're not there. It's like you're not there." You know, it's interesting. He brings across here. He's like, you know, I'm not somebody that's new to this whole thing. You brought me out of the womb. You made me trust you even at my mother's breast. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you've been my God. He's like, God, I've been following you for a long time. I'm not new to this thing. I think I have the credit, don't I, for you to listen to me? But he's like, do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there's no one to help. There's this anguish in his soul, pain in his spirit, that I think many of us at various points in our lives have been able to resonate with. But here's what I also see. I see that David begins to talk about who God is and past experience with God. He says, "You are the one Israel praises, and our ancestors put trust in you. They trusted you and you delivered them." He refers back to things that have happened in the past. He says, I know that you're there because I've seen what's happened before. And see, I think for each one of you, when you're going through this time, see, in your soul's darkest hour, we need to understand the past illuminates the way forward. The past illuminates the way forward. And so when things are their darkest and you're wondering, does God care about me? Can God really get me out of this situation? Is he ever going to come to my aid or to show himself again? The past illuminates the way forward. In my own dark times, that time of silence early last year, I remember that it was those times that I'd heard from God that helped me through. It was interesting, actually. So often, these lowest moments come after a season of our most connected times with God. It's strange that way. And so for me, I was going through a lot of things and really seeking God. And in this one instance, I heard from him, possibly the clearest that I've ever heard from him in my life. Not quite audibly, but pretty stinking close. And as I continued through in this place of trying to figure things out and of depression and all of this, and things began to slide down to the place where I felt like I just couldn't hear from God anymore, I was able to sit and God has spoken to me. I've heard from him. I was able to cling to things that he'd done in my life before. Experiences that I'd had with him before. See, I truly found that even in the midst of me going, God, where did you go? I could also have hope knowing that he wasn't far. Because I can trust in what he's told me and I've seen things in my own life. So you read scripture, you'll find that there are many examples of people who had to look into the past to be able to see their way forward. And one that's not explicit, but that seems very implicit in the text is the story of Abraham. You know, we read Abraham's story and we see like God visits Abraham, God visits Abraham, God visits Abraham, and it seems like Abraham's always talking with God. But if you actually look at the timeline of the story, God says, Abraham, it's time for you to go into this other place. And so Abraham goes. And then we're not told how long it is, but eventually God appears to him again. He's like, you know, you're going to have a son. There's going to be a nation that comes out from you. And the problem was Abraham was really old. His wife Sarah was really old, and Sarah was barren. They had no kids. But God promised that Abraham was going to become a nation. And so Sarah and Abraham, they took things into their own hands. And Sarah, following cultural practices of the time, gave Abraham her handmaiden and said, you know what, just sleep with her. And you know, whatever baby she has, that'll be my kid. And that'll all be okay. And so Abraham, being a guy and being in that culture, said yes. And Ishmael was born. And then something interesting happens. The text actually moves ahead 13 years. 13 years. I have to wonder, what was Abraham thinking those 13 years? But the one thing that I do know is that Abraham was trusting in God. He was following God. And then 13 years later, God shows up to Abraham and Sarah again and says, no, Ishmael's not the one. Sarah's going to give birth. And sure enough, she does, and she has Isaac. See, we can look in the text, and we can see people who had to look to the past to find their way forward. Israel, when they were in exile, had to look to the past of what they knew God had done in the past in order to trust God for the future. But you know, I also believe that in your soul's darkest hour, the past illuminates the way forward, that's a great thing for some of us, but for others of us, it's actually a scary thing, because maybe you're thinking it's really hard to think of some really positive things in the past that you can look at to move forward. You know, maybe you're just like, Pastor, it's great for you that you've had these experiences of God, but you know, my relationship with Jesus has been pretty lackluster. I can't really pinpoint a lot of stuff. Or maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor Stephen, I'm new to faith. And for me, there's not a lot of past that I can look at to push me forward. And that's why I think it's such an amazing thing that God had the foresight, you know, God knowing everything, had the foresight to put us together as a church. Why do we have this weird, sometimes awkward time where we share what God has been doing in our lives? It's because when you're going through the dark night of the soul and you're having a hard time looking into your own past to see the way forward, there are people here that are sharing not only their hurts and struggles, but also the ways that God is working in their lives. And we get to see the faithfulness of God in others, which helps build us up and illuminate the way forward. If God's working in their life, then maybe, just maybe, he'll start to work in my life too. So we hear other people's testimonies. We meet someone for coffee and we say, I'm just going through a really tough time right now. And somebody can say, I went through something so similar to that, but I've learned so much through it. And let me tell you, God does have something for you on the other side. When Jesus was born, people of Israel had been relying on the scriptures that had been written, the latest one, 400 years before. 400 years without a prophet like they had used to have, sharing with them a message from God. 400 years where God was silent. And they trusted. And why did they trust? Because they knew that in your soul's darkest hour, the past illuminates the way forward. And so they looked at their history and they read their scripture and they trusted in God, because they said, our forefathers saw him work in miraculous ways, and we're going to see him fulfill his promises again sometime soon. They looked to God's past faithfulness for help. At the same time, maybe you're here and you're forgetting the greatest thing that God has ever done in his faithfulness for you, and that is sending his son, Jesus. I think it's so interesting that we as followers of Jesus so often can actually treat what Jesus did for us as just like a passe thing that doesn't matter. We say, well, God's never done anything for me. As if God coming in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ to live as one of us, to teach us what it is to live as a whole human being in the power of the Holy Spirit. That him, being the only innocent person ever to live life on earth, went to the cross, nailed to it, beaten, bloody, and bruised, and died on the cross for your sins and mine. Took upon himself the consequence for your treason against the King of the universe. Took upon himself everything that had separated you from the God that you were designed from the beginning to be in a relationship with. Because he loves you. And he says, if you'll just turn away from those things that don't honor God, and you'll follow me, if you'll place your trust in me, I forgive you. And I'm providing a way for you to be in a relationship with your Creator God in heaven. And so you can say, you know what, I follow Jesus, but in this hour I don't have anything to look back at, but you do. Because if you truly believe that Jesus died for you, then the greatest act in all of history was done for you. Because God didn't abandon us in our sinfulness. What we also need to recognize is that Jesus understands where you're at. See, while David wrote Psalm 22 in his hour of need, Jesus on the cross, as he took upon himself our sin, and as he experienced the distance between us and God that can happen as he was on that cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in that moment, every good Jew standing down below, their mind went to Psalm 22. And in fact, the writers of the Gospels, Matthew particularly, I believe it is, they note back at how Jesus on the cross fulfilled Scripture. And so we see things like in verse 16 and following, my enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves and throw dice for my clothing. Jesus, whose hands and feet were pierced on the cross. Jesus, who had been stripped and lay bare and beaten and bloody and exposed inner flesh. Jesus, who as he hung on the cross, watched as those that had hung him there cast lots, rolled dice for his clothing. And so we see that Jesus also experienced this place of silence, this place of where did God go? And yet Jesus hung on that cross for us. Jesus, who so easily could have snapped his fingers and had a legion of angels come and whisk him away without all this pain, without all this suffering, he stayed there for you. He stayed there for me. And he died. God was faithful to us. God has experienced what we experience. But not only that, but we need to remember that God was faithful to Jesus in his hour of need. And that 3 days later, God raised Jesus from the dead, victorious over sin, death, and Satan. And because of that, when we trust in Jesus and we receive the inheritance of the Holy Spirit within ourselves, when we are raised to eternal life with Jesus, we can know that we also have won the victory. And that who he is and who he says that he is truly who he is. And so in a few minutes, if you're here and you just want to reaffirm that to yourself, or for the first time you want to give your life to Jesus and just run into his arms online or in this building right now, I would just encourage you to just begin to think, is this something that I want to do? Do I trust in this Jesus and what he says he's done for me? And we're going to give you an opportunity to commit yourself to him, run into his arms, and find an everlasting life with God. See, in your soul's darkest hour, the past illuminates the way forward. And as we experience this silence, as we experience these difficult times, we can turn to Jesus as followers of Jesus. We can turn to his example. We can turn to just dropping on our knees and saying, God, I know that you're there. And even though it seems like my prayers are stopping at the ceiling, that they're going beyond, that you're right here in this room with me, with your arm around me, and that you love me so much. But I have to ask you right now, what do those who don't know Jesus do when they experience these dark times? What do they do? What does your neighbor, your coworker, your friend at school, your lifelong friend, whoever it is, what do they do when they're experiencing this season of darkness if they don't have Jesus? So here at Abundant Springs, we have a vision of seeing 600 people touched with the love of Jesus and 20 new, vibrant, fruitful believers by the end of 2020. And listen to me, this is not some goal that we have to fill up seats. This is us living out the mandate that Jesus gives the church. Because God's heart is for those that are far from him and living in darkness to understand that someone cared about them enough and still cares about them enough to have gone through everything that Jesus went through for them. And they don't have to be alone through these dark times. And so, yes, we have this vision, this thing that we can buy into and that we can charge into and that we need to understand is for each one of us to be a part of if we want to see this accomplished. But this is the mission, this is the heart of God, that people would come to know him, that they would find hope in him. And so in your dark night of the soul, in your soul's darkest hour, you'll find that the past illuminates the way forward. But you'll also find that there are times that as you remember your past with Jesus, that as you share it with others, things will happen. As you're sitting down with that unbelieving friend from school, or that unbelieving coworker from work, or as you invite your neighbor to dinner and you're sitting there and they're looking just down, and you say, "What's going on?" And they begin to open up to you because of the relationship that you have forged with them. In that moment, that dark night of the soul that you've gone through becomes your greatest asset, as you can say, "I totally sympathize with what's going on. I went through a similar situation 5 years ago. And man, it was only by the grace of God as I was able to look back at what Jesus had done in my life and what he'd done for me that I was able to get through it. Do you mind if I share with you how Jesus has impacted my life?" Maybe they say no. Maybe they say yes. But you plant a seed of love and truth in their heart. And let me tell you that as the Holy Spirit works in their heart, there may come a day where they come knocking on your door and say, "I need to hear about that thing that you were telling me about." And as we go through these times and as we remember the past, I believe that through it all, we'll actually grow into a deeper passion for Jesus and we'll begin to see God working at other in other people's lives as well. And that's the way forward. And so here today, whether you're in a dark night or the sun's shining brightly on you right now, here's what I want you to do, if you're willing. I want you to begin to keep a record of God's faithfulness in a journal. Now, guys, if it makes you feel better, you can just call it in a list, in a notebook. Okay. Girls, if it helps you get along with things, you can call it a diary. Guys, if you want to call it a diary, that's fine too. I don't judge what terminology you're going to use. Just whatever you need to call it to get into it and begin to keep a record of God's faithfulness, even in the smallest of ways. See, I think sometimes when things are good, the things that God does for us, we just kind of write them off. We're like, it wasn't that big of a deal. And then when things go bad, we're like, God doesn't do anything for me. And if we would just keep a record that we can refer back to and begin to read through that journal, that notebook, that diary, whatever you want to call it, we would begin to recognize that God has been present with us in the past as we've gone through previous moments of silence, that God has gotten us out the other side. And as you build that personal history and as you even record the moments that others have had or read biographies like the one I see looking at me from the back on the ledge there, feel free to grab that. We can see testimonies of God's faithfulness in our past and others' past, and it will help us to get through it. And so today, with that on your minds and your hearts, I'm going to pray. Will you join me? Heavenly Father, I thank you for each person in this room. And I ask today that you'll work in their hearts, that you'll work in their lives, Lord Jesus, and help them to know that you care about them, that you love them, Lord God. Help them to remember these great things that you've done for them in the past, whether they're things that stand out to them in the moment or things that just have to do with I say just Lord, but really the greatest action ever taken on earth. In your death and your resurrection. I praise you today, Lord God. I pray for every person that's in that dark moment, and I just ask God that they won't go through it alone, but as they seek you, they'll also seek time with their brothers and sisters in Christ here in the church, and that they will meet together and that they will forge relationships that encourage them and build them up and springboard them forward in life, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you. But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so he came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.